In a world darkened by the fall, we all need light for our daily path. Psalm 119 tells us where to find that light. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word, the Bible, gives us light, and that's good news. The good news of Jesus Christ is what we need each and every day. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. It's great that you've joined us again this afternoon as we search the Scriptures together, having our path illuminated by God's Word. Here's your host this afternoon, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Well, a good Thursday afternoon to you. Welcome to Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've tuned in and joined me once again on this Thursday afternoon. This week on Gospel Talk, we're considering the question of whether Christians are sinners or not. What does the Bible have to say about this subject? And one thing that I want to keep coming back to is the fact that when you deny that Christians are sinners, you run into problems with the doctrine of justification. Specifically, you run into problems with the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. A passage that's really critical here is 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." You have to be clear on what that passage says. That passage is speaking about the imputation of our sin to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ became what he was not. He became sin. He became sin. That's worse than being a sinner, I think. Becoming sin, becoming wickedness and rank evil in the sight of God. Jesus Christ became that, even though he himself had no sin. Intrinsically, he was righteous. He was obedient to God throughout his whole entire life. But he became what he was not in God's sight, so that we could become what we are not intrinsically. Intrinsically of ourselves, we are sinners. We don't just commit sin, we are sinful. We are sinners. So Jesus Christ became what he was not so that we could become what we are not. Our sin was imputed to him, credited to his account for our salvation, so that his righteousness, his satisfaction, his obedience would be credited to our account. We call this the wondrous exchange. And this is the reason why Paul himself can speak of himself as being both righteous and a sinner. In Romans 7, he describes himself as being a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? The answer, of course, is Jesus Christ. So we're going to continue considering that passage in Romans 7 and why we should understand that as referring to Paul speaking about himself in the present. And to help us with that, we need to look at the broader context. We need to look at other scripture passages. One of those, we mentioned it yesterday, is 1 Timothy 1:15-16. Paul describes himself there in the present tense as being the worst of sinners. Could have used the past tense. He could have said, "I was the worst before I was converted." But no, he uses the present tense. And that parallels what we have in Romans 7, where Paul calls himself a wretched man. Paul has no qualms about calling himself a sinner while at the same time being justified in Christ. And here it needs to be pointed out, I think, that there are, from what I can tell, three different ways that the Bible uses the word sinner. And I think some of the misunderstanding, some of the problems in this whole debate center around that fact, that people don't understand that there is not one definite usage. In fact, there are three usages. First of all, the word sinner is used to describe those who are objectively wicked in the eyes of God. And in this sense, I want to be clear that Christians are not sinners. We are not objectively wicked in the sight of God. If you are believing in Christ, if you are resting and trusting in him, you are right in God's eyes. You are justified. So in that sense, okay, fine. Christians are not sinners. But second, it's used to describe those who are wicked in the eyes of men. And we see that usage in the Gospels, where Jesus is said to associate with sinners. He eats with tax collectors and prostitutes and so forth. And third, it's used to describe those who still struggle with the remnants of a sinful nature, even though they may be objectively righteous in the sight of God. And that, I'm arguing with you today, trying to persuade you that that is the sense in which Christians may still be described as sinners. And that's also the sense that Paul uses in Romans 7 and in 1 Timothy 1. Philippians 3 Paul writes about his pre-conversion life. Before Christ grabbed him, Paul thought he was living a good and righteous life. He saw himself as being blameless. There's no struggle. No struggle like what we read about in Romans 7. And so we have to conclude that the struggle came after he was converted. And still with the broader context, there's a parallel passage in Galatians chapter 5. In that chapter, Paul is clearly describing the experience of all Christians. When he writes to the Galatians, he's not writing to unbelievers, he's writing to Christians, to those who believed in Christ. In chapter 5, verses 16 to 17, we see Paul encouraging the Galatians to live by the Spirit. And in so doing, they, quote, will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. When believers do not live by the Spirit, they are gratifying the desires of the old nature. And then in verse 17, he describes the struggle. And he says that the Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. And he says, they are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. And here again, this is all present tense. This is a present reality in all Christians. There's a conflict between the new nature, which is through the Holy Spirit and is in Christ, and the remnants, the desires of the old sinful nature, that old nature which is in Adam. And that directly parallels what we read in Romans 7. Believers are both justified and sinners at the same time. Or as the Reformation put it, simul justus et peccator, the Latin expression. Simul justus et peccator, at the same time righteous and a sinner. And therefore, the broader context supports the traditional reading of Romans 7. And so does one more basic rule of proper Bible reading. Whenever we read the Bible, we should stick with its natural literary sense. Paul wasn't playing games. He was writing to be understood. Sometimes it's difficult to understand, but he wanted to be understood. And let me make clear what we're getting at here. In the first verses of Romans 7, Paul uses the past tense everywhere, also when speaking about himself. But in Romans 7:14-25, he uses the present tense. Now, if he was speaking about his pre-conversion life or about some kind of carnal Christian period in his life, we would expect him to go on using the past tense. Then he would say something like, what a wretched man I was. I was a slave to sin and my sinful nature. But he doesn't do that. He uses the present tense. It's only natural to read it as being a description of what he is like presently. To see it any other way does injury to the natural literary sense of the passage. Now, I want to put to you that this is not insignificant. This is not a petty thing in theology, in the Christian faith. Understanding this properly is crucially important. God, in his wise providence, has left these remnants of the sinful nature in us. And Romans 7:13 tells us why. So that sin might be recognized as sin. He's done that so that in this life we would continually fix our eyes on Christ. We never outgrow our need for the gospel. As we grow in grace, more and more our eyes are open to the defects and weaknesses that still cling to us. More and more we see the sinfulness of sin. Our vision becomes more and more clear. It horrifies us. But more than that, it makes us see how much we need Christ, how much we need the gospel. We need Christ every day, every hour. We run to him because it's only in him that we have hope and salvation. When we look to him, we have the assurance that sin has already been defeated for us, and soon it will be wholly and utterly defeated in us. Seeing ourselves as both justified and sinners at the same time is crucial because it keeps bringing us to Christ. Knowing this biblical truth forces us outside of ourselves and drives us to the Lord Jesus. All these people who are saying that Christians shouldn't see themselves as sinners, a lot of that is coming out of a therapeutic impulse in American Christianity that wants to turn the believer in on himself. Biblical faith directs us outside of ourselves to Christ. And what happens if we see ourselves as simply justified? What happens when we grow and we see that sin is a bigger monster in our lives than we initially thought? If I come to see a sinful nature against which I have to struggle, well, I must not be a Christian at all. Or maybe I'm a second-class Christian. There can't be much hope for me. And let me ask you, is such a person going to be thankful? Is such a person going to be making much of God in their lives? I don't think so. Or what happens is that we deceive ourselves into thinking that everything about the old sinful nature has been totally eradicated. We don't have a sinful nature against which we have to struggle our whole life. It would be too crass to say it, but we're thinking that we're actually doing pretty good. While everybody else is groveling and confessing their sins, we can hold our chins high and we can carry on with confidence. All that's left for us is to praise God. But what does Scripture say? What does Scripture say in 1 John 1:8? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And a little further in verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. And if we have sinned, then we are sinners. And that's reason to humble ourselves before God, constantly fix our eyes on Christ, just as the Israelites fixed their eyes on the bronze snake in the wilderness. And that's reason also to take seriously what it says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And by the way, that's a repeated thing. That's something we have to do over and over again. Confess our sins to the Lord. Seek his forgiveness. That's why also the Lord gave the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. He wants us to make that prayer constantly, constantly looking to him, never taking the gospel for granted. We have to look to Christ constantly because he is our righteousness and holiness and sanctification before God. You know, we need to read the Bible and recognize the reality that we are justified in Christ. Through his redeeming work, we are right with God right now. That's reality, glorious good news. Yet the reality is also that we have to struggle with sin. And realizing that reality doesn't bring us to despondency and despair and leave us there. Instead, realizing it brings us closer to Christ. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. We flee to him because we need him, not only for our justification, but also for our sanctification. Of ourselves, we're hopeless and helpless. Apart from Christ, we are nothing, and our works are nothing. It's only when we're looking to Christ, when we're united to him in faith, that we will make progress in holiness. And I hope that's true also of you. I sincerely hope and pray that you are looking to Christ today, friend. And I hope that this message today has been a help for you to that end. May God continue to richly bless you in every way.
We're glad you joined us today on Gospel Talk with our host, Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. This program comes to you today through the generous support of the Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church in Langley. The Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church worships each Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., and we always welcome visitors. You can find us in Langley at 7949 202 A Street. Again, that's 7949 202 A Street, just off 200th in Langley. If you'd like more information, or if you have any questions, you can also write to us at Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code, V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C., V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Or email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks again for joining us today. We hope that our time together has been a blessing for you. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. And be sure to join Pastor Chris Gordon tomorrow morning for Abounding Grace. He'll be sharing more wonderful gospel truths at 8:30 tomorrow morning, right here on KARI AM 550. That's Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church.